Words on Water.
Welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. This is the host, Travis Loop, and today I'm with Abby Gardner. She's a communications advisor for the Value of Water campaign. How's it going, Abby?
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So a big thing for the water sector is how the public feels about water, and we're always talking about building public awareness and building public support for what we do, and one of the great areas of activity for the Value of Water campaign is kind of the annual polling that's done of public opinion around water. And you all have just released this year's survey, a new survey of over 1,000 American voters. I'm excited to talk about the results and dig into it a little bit. We'll try to add in some commentary and all that so we're not bombarding people with numbers, but good numbers, interesting stuff.
Yeah, yes. It is the third year we've done it, and it's always interesting to see not just what people are thinking right now in this moment, but also how the numbers have changed over time and how some of the predictions we might have had 1 or 2 years ago are coming true or not coming true.
Yeah. And I'll just add for further context that this poll was released during Water Week in D.C. And I think with the idea of equipping the folks that are going to see members of Congress and with a little bit of ammunition to show them the incredible public support that there is for investing in water infrastructure and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can get into, when we go further along, the broad bipartisan support. But definitely one of the key takeaways for us is that we want to tell elected officials, you pay no political price for prioritizing infrastructure investment, and specifically water infrastructure investment, in a time where things feel so divisive and that there are very few issues that people agree on. This is something that actually brings people together in sort of remarkable numbers.
Yeah.
That there is such broad support for it. And so that's a key part of why we released it during Water Week, so people would be armed when they were on the Hill and talking to their electeds about how important this issue is.
Awesome. Well, let's go ahead and get started here. So why don't we begin with some of the key findings?
So the top line this year is that 4 out of 5 American voters agreed that rebuilding America's infrastructure is extremely or very important. And so when you compare that to how American voters feel about all the other hot button issues, the things you hear about in the headlines, like increasing defense funding or building a wall on the southern border or replacing or repealing Obamacare or changing the legal status of Dreamers, 80% of people saying that they want the federal government to prioritize infrastructure is far and away more popular than the rest of those issues by 25, 30, 40 points. It's really not even close.
Yeah.
How much everybody thinks infrastructure should be the top thing that our government spends its time and resources on. Of course, it's not what you hear people talking about the most. It's not the thing that drives the headlines every day. But our poll has found this kind of support in terms of relative to other issues. Voters for the last couple of years have said infrastructure first, but the number is growing. And that did surprise us that this year, I think we were 12 or 13 points better than last year.
Wow.
Last year, I think we were around 67%, and we thought, that's incredible.
Sure.
And it was still 10 points better than any other issue. But this year, to be at 80% and be 25 or 30 points ahead of every other issue, I thought really was remarkable.
And like you said, these issues that we are bombarded with in the news and the media is covering and people are kind of yelling about all the time, and here's something that people say is important, and people come together over its importance, is really, really notable.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some other key findings here if we move on down. What else did you all discover?
So water infrastructure in particular had a lot of support. So we knew from this top line message, okay, 4 out of 5 Americans support rebuilding America's infrastructure. But we know in the water sector, in the water community, we often think, well, our pipes are out of sight and out of mind. And when people hear infrastructure, they think roads and bridges. But our poll found that actually 78% of voters said it's extremely or very important for the president and Congress to develop a plan around water infrastructure. And when you included the group of voters that said, it's at least somewhat important, it was 93% of people. So again, extremely broad support. And I actually saw some other polling recently that someone else conducted, mm-hmm. that they had independently found when you broke out infrastructure types, so your power grid, broadband, transportation, aviation, water still was at the top of the list.
Wow.
So I think the days of us feeling like we're out of sight and out of mind are over. I think people actually have absorbed how important water infrastructure is.
And I'm sure it's a combination of things that have led to that realization, right? Maybe more people realize, or people realize, okay, water is what I actually need to survive. I can't go catch a plane or drive on a road or whatever it might be unless I have water just to live. So maybe people are realizing that. And maybe it's been some of the big water stuff in the news the past few years, right, with Flint and the drought out west and whatever it might be, you know, the infrastructure that was impacted by the hurricanes. So maybe that all is kind of coalescing to raise awareness.
I think so. I mean, when we first tested a few years ago, when we did our first Value of Water Index, it was right when Flint was in the news. Like every day it was in the news. Rachel Maddow, USA Today, you really couldn't get away from a Flint headline. And so we thought, ugh, these numbers might be kind of inflated right now because water's never been in the news as much as they are. And it wasn't that we were trying to poll how do you feel about water since you've been bombarded with water messages every day for the last 2 months. That wasn't our intention. It just so happened with the timing. That's what happened. But that said, 2 years later, the numbers are only increasing.
Yeah.
So I do think there is an effect that potentially started with Flint and has only snowballed because there have been a lot of knock-on stories of, well, actually, Flint was a unique situation, but there are lots of communities that have different kinds of water infrastructure challenges or water quality challenges or environmental challenges. You know, I think Flint sort of, in a way, created a permission slip for press to cover stories that maybe would have seemed a little, you know, niche before, but now they all get this, they're all tied back to Flint to say, oh, well, we did see what happened when the system fails. And maybe that makes people sit up and take more attention and pay more attention and take it more seriously when there is some kind of problem with water quality or a water system. And I do think a lot of the natural disasters that led to a disruption of water service over the last few years, whether it was Florida, Texas, Puerto Rico. I do think every time we see one of those happen, if something that the Value of Water campaign is doing has us interacting with press, we immediately get the question or the press is tying it back. So when we did Imagine a Day Without Water, Puerto Rico happened to not have water at that time. And every reporter that we talked to brought it up.
Right.
They would say, well, I guess people in Puerto Rico don't have to imagine a day without water.
Yeah,
it was a very sobering realization for people. But it does seem like over the last couple of years, there has been that increased appreciation and understanding that it's maybe not as isolated as Flint initially might have seemed. This could happen in a lot of different communities, granted in a lot of different ways, but it's a problem we should all be concerned about.
Sure. So folks say that this infrastructure is important. Folks say that they want the president and Congress to have a plan. What do folks say about federal government spending money on that?
88% of our respondents felt that the federal government should increase investment in water infrastructure. And we outlined what that means in terms of pipes, pumps, reservoirs, treatment plants, because a lot of times people don't actually know everything it takes to bring water to their house or take it away from their house. So we outlined it for people. And yeah, 88% of them said that's something that the federal government should be spending more money on. When we explained how much it cost, it didn't decrease the support. You know, it does sound like a big price tag when you start talking about $1.27 trillion, you know, over a number of years. But the support didn't dampen very much. And, you know, when you explain to people that they might have to bear some of this cost themselves in terms of a higher rate, they were largely supportive of that. 75% of people said that they would be willing to pay a modest increase in their local water rate if they knew it was going to improve service. At the same time, they said, and the federal government should pay their part too. So that was one of the messages we were encouraging people to take to the Hill today, which is to say to their congressman, look, individuals understand they need to be part of the solution, but they want the federal government to be a strong partner as well. It's going to be very difficult to make the kinds of investments we need across the country if we don't have a strong federal partner.
Absolutely. Those are just amazing numbers. I like that as part of doing the poll, you know, you didn't assume people's knowledge of what infrastructure was, and you kind of spelled it out for them so they could really grasp what they were being asked. I think that's important. Let's move into this section of the results here that talks about really the unity that there is for support for water infrastructure. What did you all find there?
We thought it was very interesting that across every different kind of group you could think of, so whether it was political party identity, age, gender, region of the country, there really is broad, widespread support for this, very bipartisan. So when you're looking at the number of people who said it was extremely or very important for the federal government to invest in water infrastructure, so that was the number where the final number came out to around 77%, I think. When you break it down by party, 88% of Democrats thought it was important, 66% of Republicans. So there's certainly a spread there, and we've known that from the last few years, and we've done some other message work to try to understand where that difference is coming from and make sure that we're speaking to everybody with the most effective messages. But still, having 66% of Republicans say that the government should spend more money on something, you know, was very encouraging.
Significantly more money too.
Even when they heard what the price tag was, they were still very supportive of it.
Again, I think people realize water is important, but also there's the fact that investment in infrastructure is an economic driver, right? So maybe there's some understanding that this is also not just good for public health, but it's good for our economy. Our businesses depend on it. Our jobs depend on it. And when we spend on this, we get back many fold.
Yes, I do think it's a very tangible thing that you're asking people to invest in. And I do think a lot of the resistance you see sometimes from, should we be spending money on that, is maybe a program where people don't feel like they personally see the results. It doesn't change their life. And it's harder for them to understand why we should spend money on something that doesn't benefit them directly. And I think that's one of the things we learned when we did the focus group testing, how to talk about this and what will people respond to. And the personal benefit really is key. I mean, you mentioned you need to specify what it is that we're asking you to invest in, pipes, plants, treatment plants, reservoirs. They need to know the tangible things that you're going to spend the money on. And I think people, you know, especially the more conservative voters that we've talked to in these polls, they need to know what is going to benefit them in their lives, that they will be able to turn on the tap and that they can drink the water if you make these investments, or that the wastewater utility in their region is going to not have a combined sewer overflow problem anymore, and they can fish and they can, you know, use their lakes and their streams for recreation, or just not have a pollution problem, which pollution really was one of the top things we found people responding to. Again, very bipartisan. people didn't want polluted waterways near their house. So if you know that your investment is going towards that, whether it's an increased rate or, you know, a tax, or spending from the government, there was more support of it. You just had to make sure that you were explaining that in very clear language to people.
Yeah, I like that. So I made the economic point, but you really, it's about, it's personal and it's your community. I think people can see that this is about where they live. It's not some place that they're not anywhere near.
So. Yeah, well, and I think it all depends on the audience, right? So if you're talking to your Chamber of Commerce, they want to know about the economic benefits. If you're talking to your elected officials, mm-hmm. they want to know about the economic benefits. I think members of Congress, mayors, state legislators are very interested in knowing, is this going to create jobs? Is this going to be an investment that makes our region more appealing mm-hmm. for businesses to come? That's always at the forefront of their mind. So I think that is a very important yeah. argument to make to those audiences.
Sure. I mean, and then the rest of the demographic groups you have here, I mean, it's interesting to see that it's virtually equal when you have kind of the 18 to 49 age group and then 50 plus. I mean, they're one percentage point apart, right, at 79 and 78% saying extremely or very important. So spans all ages. And then, you know, gender is pretty darn close there too, mm-hmm. right? 74% men, 81% women, extremely or very important. So, mm-hmm.
yeah. And again, this is extremely or very important. So people had a range of options. They could have said, yeah, I don't think it's important. I think it's somewhat important. But to have 74% of men, 81% of women saying this is extremely or very important is, I still think a remarkable number of people agreeing that this should be a priority.
Yeah. At Water Week, George Hawkins spoke, and it was pretty funny when he said that he would like to meet those people that didn't say this isn't very important, right? Mm-hmm. Who doesn't think that water is important? That was a funny side story there. One of the things that as the Water Environment Federation, we're really interested in with this polling, and I know you are as well, is how those attitudes are trending over time, you know, what the public is feeling year to year.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, this is the third time you've done it. So it's not like we have 10 years, mm-hmm. 15 years. Can't wait to see how when that builds up. But what have you seen over the past 3 years as far as public opinion on water?
Yeah, I think one of the things that has really jumped out at me the most is the fact that it has been this double-digit increase of people saying this is extremely or very important for the federal government to prioritize. We see a mix of numbers every year that don't necessarily change in terms of people thinking their own water system is in good shape or not good shape, or that the nation's water systems are in good shape or not good shape. You know, that has always been sort of middling, I would say, in the 50s of people being concerned that somebody else somewhere in the country, and that might have been a Flint effect. You know, I've heard stories other places where they don't have good water. And so I am concerned about it and kind of aware that that could be an issue and something that we should invest in. You know, the numbers haven't changed very much either way on my opinion about the community water where I live or other communities' water. But to see that number increase double digit, regardless that the federal government needs to prioritize this, means some kind of message is getting through that even if you're not personally worried about your water system, there is something happening where people are saying, but yeah, this needs to be a priority. There's a growing sense of urgency. I think that's what our poll results are showing us, that this is something that we need to tackle. And something we've tested is, you know, do you think we should be investing in it proactively before a system breaks, as opposed to waiting for that water main break, waiting for that crisis? And people are right there with us saying, yeah, no, you need to go out and do this and do it now.
One thing I find interesting is that people very overwhelmingly think that their local water infrastructure is in good condition, but they think that the problems are elsewhere, like you said, right?
It's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, and their infrastructure could be in decent condition, but we know that like repairs and improvements are needed really all across the country. So Maybe that's a point for more education for us to us collectively to do. That's just an interesting number.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's understandable why utilities don't necessarily want to point out all their warts on the ground.
Very true.
That I always think of what's the balance between a utility kind of being the lead messenger about water service on the ground, not wanting to scare people, not wanting them to be afraid to drink tap water or think that there is some, you know, looming crisis, right? But at the same time, delivering that sort of stern dose of reality that there has been some deferred maintenance and the bill is coming due and we have some really big projects, some really big needs. One thing I really like about Value of Water campaign is the way that all of these different utilities and associations come together and bounce ideas off of each other. And you hear examples of people saying, yeah, this is how we talk about it. This is, you know, this is sort of the coalition we built on the ground to help deliver the message for us, whether it was community groups or businesses, to help explain over, you know, from other messengers,
right,
which can help with that sort of, sure, let us explain to you why your rates have to go up when the business community is there with you, when community groups or environmental groups are there with you. But
great, great validators.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It takes a village, I think.
One of the other areas that I'm really excited about is that you kind of asked some new questions this year, some new areas. And so I'd like to go into those a little bit. Yeah, so why don't you start out there with, you ask them about service issues. What did you ask there?
We have asked, do you think your water system is good or not? And we wanted to go a level deeper on that this year to better understand if people do know that there's a problem, what is the problem they've experienced, right? Because so many people are saying, I don't really think there are problems, but I know that we should invest in it. So we wanted to dig a little deeper. We found if somebody did have an issue that they could cite as being a problem with their water infrastructure locally, flooding and water main breaks were far and away the things that they had experienced the most.
With about a third of respondents identifying those.
Yes. A third of respondents saying that flooding or water main breaks were something that they had experienced and knew was a service issue in their community. Others had 20% of people saying that they knew sewage backups were a problem is probably not great. I mean, if one out of five people are experiencing it or know that it's a problem for someone else, maybe it's been in the news that it hit a certain community or a relative of theirs had a sewage backup.
Mm-hmm.
So 20% of people were aware of sewage backups. 14% were aware of drinking contamination, which is also, you know, maybe they saw a news story. There must have been a boil water advisory, you know, something made them think that there's a drinking water contamination issue. And then 6% of people said water shortages. So I assume a lot of those came from out west. You know, we know regionally drought and conservation continues to be a major issue for some people.
Just like you said, more good perspective on people's firsthand experiences with water and what they're realizing and hearing about.
Mm-hmm.
And then you all asked a little bit about drinking water and how people take their water, if you will. I was interested to hear this one.
Yes. So only 32% of the people that we polled drink unfiltered tap water. Now, another 38% of people were drinking water that was filtered at the sink or through the refrigerator or through a pitcher. So when you combine those two, we're up at about 70% of people are drinking their tap water, either straight from the tap or with some kind of, you know, local filtration system. And then 27% of people were drinking bottled water, which I think is a number that is something we should be aware of and maybe want to dig deeper into who are those people who don't feel like they can trust their tap water. And a lot of times we see communities of color, and lower income people feeling less trusting of their tap water. And it is, I mean, to me, a little heartbreaking because potentially people with the least amount of disposable income spending money that I'm sure they really need for other things on their drinking water because they don't trust it. And maybe they have a good reason not to trust it. I don't know. But 27% of people saying they drink bottled water did jump out at me as a lot.
I would guess most of that is a trust issue, and I hear some people talk about taste also. Like, I mean, I think most of it is a trust thing probably or a concern, but that's interesting. That's a number that jumps out. And then this is in spite of the fact that folks say, you know, overwhelmingly, what, 93% say that having safe, reliable drinking water is really, really critical. So
that's right. And when you look at the crosstabs of our polling, you know, more Democrats, more women, and more people of color, more people who live in urban areas, those are all people who are very, very supportive of investing more money in water infrastructure. So these numbers start to come together and make sense, right? Mm-hmm. That 9 out of 10 say that this safe, reliable drinking water is extremely important. And those are the same people who are saying, I really want you to invest in this. It's really important to me. It might be the people, some of those people are saying, I don't feel so good about the drinking water yet. I'm spending money on bottled water. If I felt better about the drinking water, if I felt it was safe, then I wouldn't need to do that. And that would obviously be a great benefit for ratepayers across the country.
Yeah. Kind of the last section of the key findings area. There's so much in your poll for sure. And we'll link out so people can look at it further. But the Water Environment Federation is especially appreciative of working with you all to have some of these questions in here about wastewater and what people saw as the priority services for, you know, their local wastewater. So why don't you let me know what we see there?
We asked people what they would want their water and wastewater agencies to prioritize. So we saw that 83% of people said reducing water pollution should be a high priority, which makes sense. Even if you are not completely familiar with how your drinking water and wastewater systems interact with each other, you are downstream from somebody. So we all benefit when we reduce water pollution.
Yeah.
Drinking water benefits from it. If you're into recreation, if you're into fishing, everybody wins if we reduce water pollution. So I think that is great for listeners to know that talking about your utility's role in reducing water pollution is a very effective, persuasive message. 64% of people said that meeting increased state, federal health and safety regulations should be a priority. I think that makes sense. Again, going back to some earlier findings, we do know that on an individual level, people really do prioritize health and safety. Mm-hmm. So to the extent that they probably believe the regulation is there for a reason and it's in their personal best interest to be drinking, you know, healthy, safe water, or for healthy, safe water to be in the environment, it probably makes sense that 64% of people think that should be a high priority.
High priority. And then you do have a moderate category there. So, you know, and that was 23% for moderate. So do them at 87% high or moderate priority. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I guess not that many people think that regulations on water, you know, health and safety are redundant or overly restrictive.
Yeah, right.
Most people think, okay, those regulations are probably a good bar for us to aim at.
Definitely. And also kind of coming into that, close to that two-thirds ranking there was really the infrastructure piece, right? Updating the infrastructure, maintaining it, and everything needed there for water treatment.
Yep. So. Yep. People understand those pipes and facilities and equipment. If you sort of tee it up for them that they're aging and they don't last forever, they understand that you need to replace it. And again, they prefer you do it when it's in that maintenance and responsible sort of taking care of the assets we have stage, as opposed to waiting for everything to break and it's a crisis.
And then kind of the last results in this area are of real interest to us because you know, we're seeing wastewater facilities really transform to water resource recovery facilities. And so not just treating water and moving it along, but actually getting the resources out of that water. So we're curious to see what people thought of that role for utilities. And so it was interesting to see that when generating energy in the process of treating wastewater, 50% of people said that was a high priority. So mm-hmm. That's pretty decent. I mean, that's a little surprising that folks realize that that's possible and that they think that that should be done. I mean, 34% said that would be a moderate priority. So mm-hmm. that's pretty strong support. And then just after that, well, just before it at 52% and just after it at 48% have to do with climate change. Mm-hmm. So one is reducing greenhouse gas emissions, 52%, preparing for climate change impacts. That's really building, becoming more resilient, 48%. So half of folks think it's a high priority for wastewater utilities to be paying attention to that. Also, yeah, at 47% was increasing the use of recycled water. And 36% moderate there. So.
Yeah, and that's something I was very encouraged by and would love to see more discussion of. I think it's such an important topic, and especially in certain regions of the country, this is where the future's headed. And so if we can figure out the messaging, the right way to talk about this with people to make sure they understand that we have the technology to do this in a safe way, mm-hmm, that there's so much we can be doing with recycled water on a groundwater level and aquifers and all of the, I think, really interesting options out there for on-site reuse, which the U.S. Water Alliance has done some technical work on, you know, how can we get on-site reuse for non-potable reasons to be adopted. And we also see a bit of a spike on social media from the wonkier crowd. But when we start talking about recycled water, people get really excited. So I'd love to see us as an industry, as a sector, continue to explore how can we talk about this and communicate what we're doing in a way that people understand, get as geeked out as we are about it. I do think a lot of these in the sort of, I would say this is like the research and development part. You know, these are sort of the cutting edge things that really forward leaning utilities are looking at. Mm-hmm. And I do think there is a lot of education process opportunities out there for us to explain to people the really cool things that utilities are doing. They might not be the most obvious things, and it might not be the things that I think what we're seeing in these responses, right? They're not the things that people say, number one, you should be prioritizing generating energy from wastewater,
right,
or recycling water. You know, they don't see it as your top mission. I think that health and safety mission. But I do think a lot of people think it's interesting. Still 40-50% of people saying it should be a high priority. And to me, it just says that there's more room for discussion, that we can explain these cutting edge things that utilities are doing more, and I think people will be excited about them because they are really important.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, in future years where these numbers go as people get more educated, aware of these, of the possibilities of water reuse and generating energy and so forth.
Yeah, and I think if you are in one of those regions of the country where water scarcity is a major issue, I would think that when we talk about increasing the use of recycled water, people are going to be more and more interested in, how can we do that? You know, maybe the processes we've been using for 100 years were not the most innovative in terms of recycling what we had, capturing it and reusing it in ways that make a lot of sense. And the technology's out there to do incredible things.
Yeah.
We do know from our focus groups that telling people there are technological advances that can help solve some of these really tricky problems, people get really excited about and they want to learn more.
Do you want to talk about the focus group just a little bit and kind of just generally what you all learned, what the approach was and what you kind of the takeaways were from there?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, over the last few years, we did see in our polling, just like this year, that there is this natural spread between Democrats and Republicans. It's been double digit, 15, 20%. Every time we poll, there is this gap between the parties where the people who are more traditionally a Democratic group have said, this is extremely, very important. We are totally with you. Let's spend more money on this. And it's not that Republicans didn't think it was important. It just lagged. And so we wanted to do focus groups with a more conservative group to just have a longer conversation than you can have in a poll.
Sure.
To dig a little deeper and ask why and, you know, what do you think is important and how can we get you there? So we did focus groups in Pennsylvania, Kentucky, and Wisconsin. And we selected groups of people who identified as moderate to conservative. And we had conversations with them about water and water infrastructure and what's important to them. And I think I've shared some of the takeaways in our conversation, which is talking about, you know, when you're talking to that specific kind of audience, I should, you know, stress that, you know, that's a certain audience. That's not everybody. That's not the Hill. That's not your Chamber of Commerce. But when you're talking to somebody who fits that sort of description, and if we're really thinking about someone on a ratepayer or a taxpayer kind of level, they do want to know that their dollars are going to something tangible. They do need to be educated on what is this situation with the system? How old is it? What are the problems? You need to really detail that for them, show them, you know, just telling people there's a problem is not as effective as showing them, here's a corroded pipe. You know, let's do a tour with the media to see this very old system. And again, I get why utilities don't always want to show their warts, but showing is more powerful than telling. So when you have opportunities to take people to see those things they don't normally get to see, it can be very effective in then building the persuasion to say, okay, so now you saw how old this was. We need something new. We need something better. There are opportunities to do it in a more technologically advanced way, a more modern way. And people do respond well to that, but I think you have to show them, you have to take them along on that journey, and you have to be very clear with them about what the direct benefits to their lives are. So if it's, I can drink water straight out of the tap now, that's important to explain. If it's, if we invest in this, we're going to have reduced pollution in our waterways, then tell them that. You know, those are the messages that over and over again rise to the top. Very broad bipartisan support to be the most persuasive and effective messages. And so I think, you know, in a lot of ways, nothing we learned from the focus groups was rocket science, but it did reinforce some best practices. Be clear, be direct. Don't assume that they know the details about the ages of their system. It is invisible to them most days. Yeah. So just because we live in the sector, you know, we can't assume everybody is thinking about it as much as we think about it every day. And really do stress those individual benefits. Again, your mayor is going to be very excited about the economic growth opportunities, the job creation, the fact that you could do waterfront development, or that you can get new breweries to come to town if you invest in your water system. But when we talked to these focus groups and we told them about the economic benefits or the job creation, it kind of fell flat, because unless it's their job, it just wasn't that inspiring for them that it was going to create a job for someone else.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff. I mean, that was a really, really great, very beneficial work that you all did on that, those focus groups. Well, just to close, a lot of really great numbers in the polls and findings from those focus groups. I just was wondering if you could say a little bit about, you know, the pollsters, the folks that did this polling, and just I'm familiar with their credentials and their credibility. And I think that's really important, you know, for showing that these numbers are real.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had a bipartisan research team, Fairbanks, Maslin, Mahlon, Metz and Associates, also known as FM3, and Public Opinion Strategies. So they came together to do the poll, which means they jointly worked on creating the questions, on checking the methodology and verifying the results and analyzing the results for us. And FM3 and Public Opinion Strategies both do a lot of political polling, but a lot of issue polling and a lot of environmental polling specifically around water issues. So a lot of organizations, I think, who care about water have used Dave Metz and Lori from Public Opinion Strategies for a variety of polls, you know, for their own brand or to ask about issue questions related to water or the environment. So they are definitely well respected in our field, as people are kind of experts on water and environment and messaging. How do we talk about this, and how do we talk about it with some audiences that are maybe more naturally inclined to be resistant to our messages? So they also were the research firm that conducted the focus groups for us. Which is really important, because that is a more nuanced conversation than a poll. And so you do want someone who's had some experience in sort of being able to predict where the pushback is going to come from, and then how do you navigate through that conversation.
Very interesting. Yeah. And so folks that listen and want to kind of look at the poll numbers, where can they go to find that?
Sure. So go to thevalueofwater.org. And the poll results are in our resources section. So if you click on the resources tab, it's the very first thing that should pop up right now.
Awesome. Abby, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
All right. Bye.
Words on water.